So it's very nice to be with you again in the reason, and I wonder if we could turn this evening to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 22. Acts of the Apostles and chapter 22. And for connection, I'll read the last verse of the previous chapter. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people, and they made a great silence. And he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defence, which I make unto you now. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue, they kept the more silence, and he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. And as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estates of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus, to bring them that were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard the voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me indeed saw the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt bear witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when he was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee out of quickly get out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. And I kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave an audience unto this word. Then they lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow. May God bless the reading of his word. Now this is what is called Paul's defense. And this is, if you think about the temple, I once was shown a model, and it was in Jerusalem, and if I tell in Jerusalem they had a scale model of the city of Jerusalem as it was at the time of the Lord, and at the time of these things being that we're reading here took place, and that model explained the geography as it were of Jerusalem. Paul had been caught in the temple by this crowd who were accusing him of desecrating the temple, of spoiling it, of taking Gentiles where they should have been, and in that way he was, in their eyes, guilty of a serious misdemeanor. And there was a great crowd and a great tumult, but next door to the temple was a fort built by the Romans, the Fort of Antonio. And if we had read the previous chapter, we would have read about the guard, the captain of the guard, and the soldiers who came and rescued the Apostle Paul. And just as they're taking him into the fort, he asks to speak to the crowd, an unusual request, and the Roman soldiers allow him to do so. And this address that we have read is what he said on the steps of that fort just after he had been arrested. He speaks about why he is in Jerusalem, why he is what he is. And most importantly, he speaks about an experience he had with the Lord Jesus. And if you were to read through the Acts of the Apostles, you might be, particularly the previous chapter, you might be puzzling as to why the Apostle Paul went on such a dangerous mission, because on a number of occasions he's told by different Christians, by revelation of the Spirit of God, that if he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested, and he's going to have great difficulty. But of course, if you go further back to chapter 20, we read that the Apostle Paul says of himself that the Holy Spirit witnessed that in every city bonds and afflictions awaited him. And he goes on to say, Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. You see, after the Apostle Paul met the Lord Jesus, his whole purpose in life was to serve him. And if that meant going to Jerusalem, and if it meant being arrested, and if it meant languishing for many years in a Roman prison in order to spread the gospel, that is exactly what he was prepared to do. And so tonight I want to look at this testimony that he gives on the steps of the fort as he has just been arrested. He speaks about the transformation that has taken place in his life having met the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the first five verses of the chapter tell us of his privileged background. We sometimes hear about famous people and the privileges they had in their backgrounds, but the privilege that the Apostle Paul and Saul of Tarsus had in his background is quite considerable. And he speaks of it here, and he speaks of it in Philippians chapter 3. He speaks about his family, that he was born a Jew. He was born of the seed of Abraham, a very proud fact. That he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel is a man who we read of earlier in the Acts of the Apostles. He was the leading theologian, the leading thinker of his day. Paul is saying, by making this statement, he's speaking about his academic credentials, as they are impeccable. And he goes on to say about himself that the life that he lived in those days was perfect in the manner of the law of his father. Now you might say, if that was really true, why are we holding this gospel meeting tonight? Well, the Apostle Paul goes on to explain that both here and in the Epistle of the Philippians in chapter 3. He goes on to explain that these things, they may have been impeccable in the eyes of men. They may have given him a great standing before men, but not before God. And he speaks about himself that he was zealous toward God as ye are this day. Zealous. That's an interesting word. We read of the word zealot. And a zealot was one of these men that we're reading about tonight. One of these men that lived in those days who were so enthusiastic and so forceful and so motivated by the law, fanatical is the word I was looking for, about the Jewish law. And yet, we find them on the pages of Scripture, and we find them in the annals of the history of men, and their fanaticism for the things of God, so called, as the Apostle Paul himself said, the zeal without knowledge. You see, what the Apostle Paul is explaining is that he was just like the men who were standing there threatening him. He was explaining to them that he had come from exactly the same background, fanatical and yet wrong, religious but on the wrong path altogether, zealous and fanatical for God, and yet, as he explains in the Epistle to the Ephesians, that while we were yet sinners, that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. He discovers, as we'll see, that for all his fanaticism and for all his zealotry, he was nothing more than an enemy of God. These first five verses should cause us to think about the things that we believe, the things that we are standing before God. Are we standing on the right foundation? Are you standing on a foundation like the Apostle Paul was? Fanatical, zealous, highly motivated. There's lots of people in this world today. And if being sincere would get you to heaven, they would be going there. And if being fanatical about a particular cause would get you to heaven, they would be going there. But sadly, from the Word of God, and from the very Word of Christ, we'll see, it's a zeal without knowledge. It is fanaticism without a point. It is religion without the approval of God. And he said, goes on to say, I persecuted that way. That means Christianity. That means the gospel. He persecuted the gospel unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, and he had let us from the high priest and delivered them to be punished. You know, it's a marvelous thing to think that our gospel tonight is a gospel that changes men. It's a gospel that can change not just the best of men. It doesn't simply improve men, but it can completely transform a man. And that is what's happened to the apostle, to Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus. You know, there used to be an evangelist, he's gone home to be with the Lord, who had a long association with this assembly, a man called Jim Smith, and he used to tell in his testimony of a meeting on the road. He met the Lord Jesus. He found salvation on the road to New Bliss in Ireland. Well, the Apostle Paul's meeting with the Lord Jesus is even more dramatic than that. In the very act of destroying Christians, in the very act of being an enemy of God, the Lord Jesus Christ intervened in his experience. It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me. The Apostle Paul speaks of this and we read of it on three occasions. We read the original and we read this, the original happening, and we read this, and then he tells it again in front of Felix, and he's telling again the story of his conversion. He's never tired of telling of his conversion. You see, he literally met the Lord Jesus. He literally met the risen Lord Jesus. And if we read Acts chapter 9, we find the effect on him as he falls to the ground, trembling and crying out. What a meeting that was with the Lord Jesus. You know, the pages of Scripture are full of those who have met the Lord Jesus in different places and in different circumstances. But like the Apostle Paul, those who exercise faith went home a different way. Those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus, that meeting with him transformed their life. Tell me, has there been a time in your experience when you met the Lord Jesus, when you had dealings with Christ, when you discovered in his presence that you were a sinner? You know, Acts chapter 9, it's very startling just to read the words that the Apostle Saul said on that occasion. And he's verse 6 of chapter 9, and he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" The one whom he hated, the one whose name he was trying to destroy, he had to bow before and acknowledge that he was Lord. Later, the Apostle Paul speaks about his meeting with Christ as being born out of due season. He never forgot the fact that it was an enormous privilege for him to have met the Lord Jesus. But you know, it's an even greater privilege given that he wasn't simply someone who was seeking Christ. That would have been tremendous for those who were seeking the Lord Jesus to have met the Lord Jesus. There were those who said they would like to see Jesus, and their request was declined. Think of those Greeks in John chapter 12. They came and their request was declined. They at that point in time, the Lord Jesus was not able to see them. But here, the Lord Jesus stops a man in his tracks. The voice from heaven. Think of those words that he said, Saul, stop. The Lord Jesus speaks, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? These tell us a lot of things, don't they? They tell us about the knowledge of Christ. There's not a person in this room tonight, and the Saviour doesn't know you by name. The Lord Jesus Christ knows all about you. There's not a person in this town, in this country, in this world that the Lord Jesus does not know everything about. He knows what we think of him. He knows our past. He knows everything there is to know. He knows what our future will hold for us. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about you. But the double call, that call of confirmation, that call of certainty, that one who stood before the Saviour that day, that enemy of Christ, why persecutest thou me? And he said, what? And I answered, Saul said, who art thou, Lord? He grasped the fact that he had been, in his zeal and in his fanaticism, he had been wrong. That all his religious works were absolutely of no avail to him before Christ. All that he thought he was, an intellectual of the privileged and most strict set of Pharisees, someone who had sat at the feet of the foremost thinker of his day, and yet none of us could stand before Christ. You know, there's nothing in the preacher tonight, there's nothing in the Christians who are here tonight that will ever appeal to God or to Christ. We stand here by grace alone. We stand and our standing before God is in the perfection that has been given to us, in the righteousness that we have received by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Jesus of Nazareth. The one who spoke to Paul, to Saul that day from heaven, was the one who was pleased to be associated with that humble little town in Galilee called Nazareth. He was the one who humbled himself not only to come, but to sojourn there and to occupy himself with labouring in a carpenter's workshop. The one who came and the one who became so low is the one who sits upon the throne of God tonight. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. The Apostle Paul, as he later became, looked back upon his pathway, looked back upon what he was, and he says this of his previous life, I count it all but dung, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, after he met the Lord Jesus, Christ was everything to him. After he met the Lord Jesus, the only thing that mattered to him was pleasing the Lord Jesus. The only thing, the whole purpose of his life became a quest to bring others to Christ. Tonight, It is the burden of the Christians in this hall to bring you to Christ, to make sure that what you're depending upon before God is the work of Christ and the work of Christ alone. That you're depending upon His death on Calvary's cross, when He paid your debt of sin to God, when God laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. Any other foundation, any other basis that you may care to stand on will leave you found wanting. You will be found wanting. You'll have nothing. One day, we read about the meeting that this man, Saul of Tarsus, had with the Lord Jesus. But you know, the Bible is very clear. We're all going to meet the Lord Jesus. We're all going to stand before Him. We're all going to have to give account before Him. And the Saul of Tarsus, by divine grace, meets Him and is arrested in his sin. He meets the Lord Jesus, and he is able to confess before Him that He is Lord. You and I, and everybody in this world, is going to stand before Christ. Everyone is going to meet Him. But tonight you can meet Him as your Savior. Tonight, like Saul of Tarsus, you can meet Him in the day of God's grace. You can meet Him in the day of God's salvation. I want to ask you this. If you were standing before Christ tonight, what would you say to Him? What could you say to Him? When Saul of Tarsus met Christ on the Damascus Road, there are very few words that he could say, only words of confession, only words of acknowledgement, words of confession. You see, there's a day coming when all men will stand before Christ, but it will be too late. You'll stand before Him as your judge. And the Bible says of that day that every mouth will be stopped and the whole world guilty before God. Tonight, I would ask you, have you met Christ? If not, flee to Him. Cry to Him. Fall down before Him and seek His salvation. The Apostle Paul, as he later became, is led into Damascus, and he has become a new person. He learns what salvation is going to mean for him. This man, Ananias, tells him that he will suffer many things, and that he will have to appear before kings and the Gentiles, and the sons of Israel, to testify of the Lord Jesus. It's going to be a hard way for Saul of Tarsus. If you come to Christ tonight, the Bible does not promise, and the Savior Himself never promised, that life would necessarily be easy. He did not promise that life would necessarily be easy. But you know, There are greater things in life, and there are more important things than having an easy life. Imagine passing from time into eternity as an enemy of Christ. Imagine passing out of time into eternity bearing your own sins. The Saul of Tarsus, when he met Christ, he trembled. When he met Christ, he fell to the ground. Men, in their pride and in their and in their blasphemy think that they will meet Christ, and they will say this, and they will say that. They will be brought to silence. They will be brought, they will have nothing to say, as he pronounces sentence upon them. But the Saul of Tarsus had this marvelous opportunity. He came to Christ. He confessed his sin. And as we read later in the chapter, he was baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Now we read here, be baptized and wash your sins away. That had a particular meaning for the Jews. You see, the Jews as a nation were those who rejected Christ. They were a nation who said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And they were called, when they became Christians, to publicly testify that they had changed sides. Publicly testify that the one that they had rejected is now the one that they are living for. Baptism, a picture of identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we've read about a man, and we've read about the transformation of a man who was an enemy, who became a servant of God because he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. He met the risen Lord Jesus, the one who had died for him, the one who had risen again, the one who stood ready to forgive sins, and the one who stands ready tonight to forgive your sins and to give you a place in heaven, to put you on a different road, to put you on the road heavenward and homeward, and to make you a child of God and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us all. Our Father, we bow before thee tonight, and we give thanks that the Saviour still changes men. We give thanks this evening that the power of the Gospel is still able to transform the vilest offender. Our Father, this evening we give thee thanks that we can face back the time and a place when we trusted the Lord Jesus and we came into the good of his salvation. And so this evening our prayer would be that there might be none in this hall who would leave without that certainty, without that assurance, without that transforming power in their lives. And our Father, we pray tonight that each might examine their hearts and examine how they stand before thyself, that they might be able to say of Christ, the Son of God, loved me and gave himself for me. Part us now with thy blessing. We ask it in the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder if we can sing in closing, please. Hymn number 269. Hymn number 269. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Hymn number 269.